Can LED be BAD?
Yes.
And some experts want Chicago to proceed with caution as the city begins replacing more than 270,000 streetlights. What's up? I'm Steve Grzanich with news about Earth, space, science, technology, and more on 720 WGN and WGN+. The LED upgrade will happen over the next 4 years, and Mayor Emanuel says the Chicago Smart Lighting Project, as it's being called, will improve safety and quality of life in neighborhoods across the city. In announcing the project, the mayor says the new lights will provide more reliable and improved nighttime visibility and give communities a greater sense of safety. Yes, the new lights will use less energy, and Chicago will lose its distinctive nighttime orange glow, but the switch to wider LED orange lighting hasn't gone so well in other cities where upgrades have already happened. In Houston,
they are very intrusive. A common refrain has been, these look like the aliens have landed. They look like there's a film set in front of my house. The intensity is very high.
In Spokane, Washington,
it was like there was a spotlight on my house. It was unlike anything I'd seen before. And I noticed, oh, hey, they put new streetlights in. It's a new LED lamp. And whatever, that's cool. However, that's really, really bright.
In Brooklyn,
they pretty much light up the street like it's daytime.
Strip mall in outer space is the metaphor I've been using. It's just extremely harsh and intense and it has this inescapable quality.
And in Davis, California,
I definitely think they should do something to change that.
It's like a movie set or it's like a construction site.
After starting a replacement project and installing 650 new LED lights in 2014, the community revolt became so intense, Davis city leaders had to replace the lights at a cost of $350,000. Residents complained the LED streetlights caused vertigo and unnatural glare. New York, Seattle, San Jose, Los Angeles, Boston, Phoenix, Detroit, and San Francisco have already transitioned to LED streetlights, and now it's Chicago's turn. Among the experts urging Chicago to proceed cautiously is Dr. John Barentine, program manager for the International Dark Sky Association. The Tucson-based organization is an authority on light pollution and the leading organization combating light pollution worldwide. Dr. Barentine joins me now via Skype. Dr. Barentine, is Chicago's plan moving in the right direction, or is there a shock coming for residents?
I approve with a few conditions. And what I mean by that is, of course, you know, we're in favor of the city saving money through installing more energy efficient outdoor lighting. But we have some concerns about the exact qualities of those lights that we think that the city should address before it moves forward.
What do you mean exactly?
So what I mean by that is the city is looking at putting in LED lights that have a relatively high, what we call color temperature, and that has to do with the color quality of the light that the lights will be putting out. And the selection that they've made seems to have quite a bit of blue light that it will emit. And that is a source of some problems that we know about relating to impacts to wildlife, to human health, and some other concerns.
And so what would, let's say, the impact for human health be?
So humans don't get a tremendous amount of their light exposure at night, but there is a known connection between exposure to blue light and the disruption of circadian rhythm in people, which is our body's way of regulating different functions throughout the 24-hour day. And putting extra light into that environment that is triggering of that cycle is something that's known to cause mild problems like insomnia and more significant problems like up to and including cancer. So of course, you know, we're trying to get people to limit their exposure to the short wavelength light as much as possible at night. And it's not so much a problem with outdoor lighting, but we know that of course some of that light will make its way into indoor spaces through windows.
And what does the evidence show about how this might affect wildlife?
There's a mounting degree of evidence that says that wildlife is affected in much the way that people are, in that it's known to also disrupt their circadian rhythms. And we're talking from everything from animals on down to insects. And it affects also their feeding strategies, their reproductive strategies. This is especially important in urban situations where you have wildlife that's already trying to cope with a much higher ambient level of light than it would experience outside of the city, and trying to survive in that environment. And by adding more blue light to it, we're actually setting up a situation where it's sort of a further insult to species that are already sort of threatened by the situation they're in.
What would be one or two of the species that would be most impacted by something like this?
I think in a city environment, the biggest impact that people might notice is to birds. And we've seen in cases of especially brightly lit downtown areas of cities where you have a lot of skyscrapers, that all that light is very attractive to birds, many of whom are on migratory flyways that pass over cities like Chicago. And as they're attracted to that light, they come in and start circling, and eventually they will either die of exhaustion, they'll fall right out of the sky, or in some cases they'll fly into the lit windows of buildings. So by adding more light to the environment, and in particular more of this short wavelength variety, we're setting up a situation where the city will become increasingly attractive to birds, and people who are walking around downtown at night may be more likely to come across bird carcasses on the sidewalk that have resulted from these collisions.
So is there a type of light that the mayor could have chosen that would have been better?
There are. What we have found is that as the color temperature of the lights decreases, there's less blue emission, and yet you still get good color rendering properties, which is something that the police department will appreciate. There'll be perfectly adequate light levels. And now we know that these so-called warmer lights that have less blue emission are just as energy efficient as the higher color temperature, more cool white, if you will, lights are achieving in terms of their energy efficiency. So that used to be an argument against these warmer white lights, was that they weren't as energy efficient and they resulted in higher operating costs over the lifetime of the fixture. But the technology around outdoor lighting is evolving so rapidly right now that we have seen massive improvements in energy efficiency with these warmer fixtures. And that's ultimately what we would recommend to the city of Chicago.
And is this choice then a less expensive choice than that one? Or why do you think these were selected, if you had to guess?
I think that the city opted for these cooler white lights in part because that's what the manufacturing industry really wants to sell right now. And I believe that's a result of the fact that they see the writing on the wall with respect to all the scientific information that we have about the problems associated with blue light, and that they expect in the future that more municipalities are going to alter their outdoor lighting codes to demand the warmer white colors that result in less emission of blue light. And so it's just a matter of trying to get rid of the stock that they have on hand. And for a big city like Chicago, of course, you know, this is a very expensive project, and we certainly recognize that. But again, now that we're down to the point that the energy efficiency is matched between these different options, that it's no longer a choice that has to be made strictly on an economic basis. So that the city can still get a good outcome here. And even if it were to just take a step back, study the problem a little bit more, get a little bit more public input as to what people prefer, that they can have a cost-effective outcome here that will be best for everybody in Chicago.
So let's go through a couple of things that the mayor has said. And the first is that this project, these lights, will improve lighting quality and reliability throughout the city.
I would agree that they will improve reliability in the sense that the LED lights that are going in many cities now are relatively low maintenance compared to existing street lighting systems, so that you make this upfront investment that involves putting in the new lights, but then the maintenance budget that the city will spend on keeping the lights going should drop off, that we don't see as many problems related to environmental exposure as we do with other types of lights. So that's certainly one thing that will benefit them.
And the mayor says also, too, the new lights will consume about 50 to 75% less electricity, and that'll be a cost savings to taxpayers.
That's right. And as a consequence, they will be able to pay off the capital cost of installing the new lights within just a matter of a couple of years. Whereas what kept cities from doing this in the past, say 5 or 10 years ago, is that the payoff time was much longer. It was on the order of between about 5 and 10 years.
The other thing is the city hall says this will be public safety will be improved with these clearer, brighter lights. Is that accurate?
If the claim is made that these lights will improve security, I would be interested to know what evidence that the city has to support that, because the scientific studies of this subject are not at all clear in terms of the benefit of adding light to spaces, especially those that were not previously lit. And we have almost no data on cases where lighting levels were adjusted to be either brighter or dimmer. There is a study that was done in Chicago about 15 years ago that looked at the lighting of alleyways, and specifically of adding light to these spaces in order to try to decrease crime. And the study results found that adding light to some of these spaces ironically increased the incidence of different types of crime. And the hypothesis behind that is that sometimes making situations brighter by adding more light is increasing the probability of crimes of opportunity, because perpetrators have an easier time seeing what they're doing. So I think that there are some cases where improving the quality of light in a situation may result in better public safety, but I think the evidence is very thin that adding light or increasing the intensity of light will have the effect of reducing crime.
The mayor also says that this will come at no extra cost to the city, that no extra cost to taxpayers. Does that suggest to you that perhaps one of these lighting companies is paying for this?
I don't think that it's the lighting companies are paying for it. I think what Mayor Emanuel is referring to is that the payoff of the investment will come from the savings in electricity. So that even though the city does have to front something in order to purchase the product up front, that the payoff will be so quick, and then they'll start seeing returns on the investment through the energy savings. And of course, that's a laudable goal, and we support that. And we're not opposed to the sense of converting to this new technology. But again, it's all of these potentially unintended consequences of moving to the technology that are creating a problem.
Recently, we saw a picture from the International Space Station of Chicago and all of the lights below. And it goes to what your organization is all about, and that's sort of raising awareness about light pollution and trying to make the skies a little bit darker. Does this go anywhere near helping that, or is that a lost battle?
I'm hesitant to say that anything is a lost battle. You know, much of what we do as an organization is about raising awareness of this issue, which is not only the harmful effects of light pollution, but it is trying to give people options for how they can make the situation better. And I do think that the answer to the problem is not always just throw more light at it, and that somehow it will either reduce crime or it will make for better public safety. I think that the city ought to consider the matter of quality of life, and quality of life is not necessarily enhanced by adding more light. Certainly, the city will get brighter as seen from space as a result of making this conversion, in part because they're moving from older technologies that involve longer wavelength light to this new LED technology that involves more of this blue light that I've been talking about. And a consequence of that is we know from atmospheric physics that bluer light scatters more efficiently through the Earth's atmosphere. And as a result, as seen from a distance or as seen from overhead, the city will actually appear brighter even if the total quantity of light is kept constant. And that's what we're really worried about here, is that there's ultimately more light going into the environment. It won't necessarily improve the quality of life on the ground, and that there are other options that we think could result in not only better containing the amount of light that the city is emitting, but also making the situation better for residents.
Your organization just marked a Dark Sky Week, and I recently did another story and talked to some other folks who were saying that we're losing the night sky, that there are places that you can go. Most places, you can't see stars anymore. There are very few places, even at national parks, that's one of the biggest complaints. Why is it important for us to be able to see the night sky?
It's important to be able to see the night sky for aesthetic reasons, ultimately. You know, we know about the connection to wildlife and about health and public safety and all of these other issues, but personally, I think that we lose something that is common to our humanity when we're cut off from the ability to see the night sky. It's not something that necessarily involves our economy or anything like that, where you can put a number on it or a dollar figure. But rather, you're talking about something that was just common to our heritage as human beings for thousands of years before the introduction of electric light. It's inspired various works of art and literature over human history. And it's one of the few things that we really share with every human being on Earth, is that we all live under one sky, and that no matter where you're at in the world, in the absence of light pollution, that we would all have access to this common public good. And of course, you know, outdoor lighting has brought us a lot of good benefits. It's extended our day. It's allowed us to be able to socialize at night and to be able to engage in economic activity at night. And we're not advocating for eliminating that from the public spaces out there. But we think that if people used light more intelligently and were mindful about that use, that these two things could coexist, that our cities could be adequately lit for all of the reasons that we have for using outdoor light at night, many of which are very legitimate, but that we could also have access to the night sky at the same time. And I think this is true of a city as large as Chicago. I don't doubt that for a moment.
One of the other events you have every year is National Park Week. And I was surprised to learn that one of the number one complaints of visitors to our national parks is that they're not dark enough and that they're too noisy. That's becoming quite an issue too, isn't it?
It is. And there's, of course, a balance to be struck there. It's been said that at times that we love our national parks to death, in the sense that the degree of visitation kind of overwhelms the natural environment in the parks. And, you know, you go to one of the bigger, more well-known national parks, such as the Grand Canyon here in Arizona, and you'll find a lot of people, because many people want to see that. And of course, as a point of national pride, we want lots of people to see our parks and to enjoy them. And it is a difficult balancing act at times for the parks to provide the degree of public access that is demanded, but also provide for the conservation priorities that the parks have, one of which is to maintain things in as natural a condition as possible. And in many cases, the complaint about the parks not being dark enough is the result of the gateway communities that are on the edges of the parks that are catering to the tourist base. And of course, you know, the tourists need places to stay and they need restaurants to eat at, et cetera. And we think that we can also find a balance there, that if we work together, the parks and those neighboring communities, that we can find responsible solutions for their lighting that will try to keep the parks dark as possible, but also provide for these very immediate needs of the tourists that keep the local economy going.
We talked about what the cities are doing, but what can we as just individuals do to further this cause?
You know, that's a great question, Steve. It's one that we get every day. And fortunately, we have some pretty brief and succinct advice about how people can contribute. And it really is a case where every person, no matter how small an act that they think that they're doing to support the cause, really does support it and improves the nighttime environment. And that comes down to what we refer to as the four P's, where the P refers to the word proper. And it's about using the proper amount of light at the proper time, in the proper place, and with the proper spectrum. And by spectrum, I mean the color, which is the issue that we were talking about earlier with the streetlight system in Chicago. It's about, you know, putting a shield on your porch light, for example, so that it's not shining into your neighbor's windows. It's about considering if the light is the right amount to show the step that you're trying to illuminate without being too much for the task at hand. And then ensuring that the light has the right color quality to it, and that you're using it only during the time of night when it's needed. And as much as possible, trying to turn that light off when it's not needed and when there aren't people there. And these little things that people can do, just being mindful about those four P's, that alone in combination with what your neighbors are doing and then what your city is doing altogether is the kind of thing that can affect real noticeable change.
It's sort of sad that there are actually kids that are out there that have never seen stars, that they live in a place where it's just so polluted with light that they can't see stars.
It is, and it's something that obviously didn't used to be the case. And it feeds into the bigger picture of what it's like to live in a city. And some people say, well, you know, being in a big city has certain consequences associated with city life. And one of them is that it's bright at night and you don't get to see the stars. But the point at which we accept that as a condition of being in the city, I think we lose something that you're pointing out there that was, you know, as I said before, used to be common, and that it can be something that's a real inspiration. And some of those kids, they're not all going to go on to be scientists or anything like that, but it can inspire them to do great things in their lives, whatever it is that they choose to do with their lives. And again, I think that if we just were mindful about how we use light, that we could bring back that experience so that families wouldn't have to take their kids out to the country in order to see the stars, but rather they could see them from the places where they live.
You know, in Chicago, we have a history of money being spent, you know, because it's somebody's friend or, you know, how that goes. And that was sort of my first thought is why would the mayor select, you know, to go this route if there hadn't been a study? Is there, you know, maybe a sweetheart deal involved?
Well, it's hard to say. Chicago doesn't have that reputation. But the only reason I think that there's not necessarily something nefarious going on is that we see the same story playing out over and over and over again in American cities, many of whom have already done their conversion. And, you know, I kind of feel bad for these people who are in, you know, city manager offices and streets departments and things like that, where there's a very strong political pressure on local leaders to reduce costs. You know, we haven't fully recovered from the recession, and a lot of municipal governments really suffered severely under that because of their the tax revenue that funds city operations. So the voters are saying, you know, do everything you can to reduce costs, and they are sold this idea that they can significantly reduce their electricity use if they put in new lights. And so they go to a manufacturer and they say, tell me how to reduce my energy costs. And the manufacturer is very happy to sell them what they want to sell them. And so I don't think that there's anything necessarily different here about Chicago, and that they're proceeding as rapidly as possible to this solution because of the intense pressure that they're under. But we have seen some cases where other cities have regretted this decision after putting in these very cool white lighting systems that the residents really dislike. And there's a sort of a poster child for this, which is a city in California called Davis, where the public reaction to the cool white LED system was so significant and overwhelmingly negative that the city ended up, at its own cost, removing all of those lights and replacing them with a warmer lighting system. That's an extreme case, but we're seeing lots of complaints from other cities where people find this this cool white lighting to be very sterile, very unfriendly, causing people to have to buy blackout curtains for their windows, that sort of thing. So, you know, we're just trying to get people to slow down, study the issue a little bit more, and especially to get resident feedback. That's really important so that they don't end up making a decision that in the end the city voters decide that they can't accept.
Dr. John Barentine is program manager for the International Dark Sky Association, online at darksky.org and on Twitter at IDA Dark Sky. And that's What's Up. I'm Steve Grzanich with news about Earth, space, science, technology, and more on 720 WGN and WGN+.